This is one poem only. A daily reading, a quiet moment. One poem, center stage, just for now, just for you. Like a one-night-only performance, but in verse. I'm Maggie Devers, and each day I'll read you a poem. Nothing more, nothing less. No analysis, no noise, just a little space to listen. One poem only submissions are now open. I'm looking for poetry that lets the light in, that celebrates rebirth, renewal, and turning toward brightness. Deadline is Thursday, October 30th. Details are in the show notes. Send me words that make you come alive. Broken by Annie Leland. They say I'm heartbroken, but heartache can't sufficiently describe how the physical agony in my chest steals the air from my lungs. Pain so visceral, tears seem trivial, not a worthy outlet of emotion. These windows to my soul are dry, seeing clear for the first time. My body is numb, unfeeling. Torment-induced disassociation, shielding my fragile mind. My tortured heart no longer set alight by my twin flame, but incinerated by the resulting inferno, each broken piece fueling the blaze, the once glowing embers, now cold and black. Pop Punk Therapy, Kristen's Version, by Kristen Rosasco. 1. 30, flirty, and deeply unwell. They told me 30 would feel like freedom, like a crisp Chardonnay in an overpriced glass, like a mortgage, like knees that don't audibly crack when you squat down to pick up the crumbs of your 20-something mistakes. But I'm here in my room, a room that is covered in crumbs even though there is a strict no-food upstairs rule, a room that eerily resembles my teenage bedroom that thankfully still only lives in my memory. Well, sort of. Gestures vaguely. I'm still having a mental breakdown in my underwear, mascara-coated tears still streaming down my cheeks, and since being a mom doesn't leave much room for literally anything else, I'm still standing in front of a dusty mirror wearing a t-shirt that says, "I paused my anime for this," staring at my reflection and screaming, "If you could see that I'm the one who understands you," with the emotional stability of a raccoon in a thunderstorm. Because even I don't understand myself anymore. 2. The Sacred Ritual of Regression. There's a method to the madness. First, I light a candle that smells like a cozy cabin. A lie. I live in a messy, stained suburban hellscape with a leaky faucet, 2 major appliances that don't work, and 3 tiny roommates who call me cringe. Then, I open Spotify like it's the Ark of the Covenant, search Taylor Swift OG era, and prepare to summon my inner dramatic-ass teen who thought wearing Converse to prom was an act of social rebellion on par with the Boston Tea Party. You Belong With Me begins, and suddenly I'm 14 again, mad at a boy who never looked at me, even though I definitely wrote him a very subtle poem called Your Eyes Are Like the Apocalypse, But Hotter. I press play. I ascend. I time travel via bridge. She wears short skirts. I wear depression. Or whatever the lyric is. Same vibe. 3. The dance floor is lava. And also carpeted. Cue the chaos. My body moves with the grace of a drunk Muppet. Arms flailing like I'm signaling a plane to land in my driveway. I knock over a glass of LaCroix. R.I.P. Key Lime. You were too carbonated for this world. And yet, in the disarray, something holy happens. A divine possession. Like I'm being exorcised of all the garbage thoughts that say, how's married life treating you? When are you having more kids? Your LinkedIn is embarrassing. Your mom thinks poetry isn't a real career. And in this sacred movement, this messy, definitely nowhere near middle-aged interpretive flailing, I am not behind. I am not broken. I am not a punchline at the Thanksgiving table. I am the main character, I am the moment. I am her. 4. Existential bridge. But then, inevitably, the song ends. The silence creeps in like a landlord on the first of the month. I sit on the floor, wrap up in an old blanket that smells like despair and dry shampoo, wondering why dancing to a pop song is the closest I've come to inner peace in 4 fiscal quarters. Maybe it's because we were raised on rom-coms and repression, so we have to self-soothe with bridge builds and choruses to remember who we are. Maybe Taylor Swift is cheaper than therapy and twice as effective. Maybe healing doesn't look like yoga retreats and perfectly curated morning routines with matcha and daily stoic readings. Maybe healing is blasting Blondie at full volume while ugly crying in a bath towel. Because the only person who really understands you is 2009 Taylor, and the backup vocals you sang into your hairbrush when you still believed in magic. 5. Closing credits, a midlife melodrama. So yeah, I'm 30. I still don't eat my vegetables and I cry at commercials. I've Googled how to get your life together more times than I've called my dentist. I still feel like I'm 15. But tonight, I danced. I shook off the shame. I made peace with my ghost in 4/4 time. And if that makes me ridiculous, a grown woman in mismatched socks finding salvation in a pop song, then so be it. Because somewhere out there, someone's blasting All Too Well 10-minute version with a bottle of Merlot and a full-on breakdown. And I salute them. And I join them. And I press repeat. I watched Gaza burn from my bed by Fatima Zahra Ghol. I made tea while Gaza lost internet. They bombed Jabalia like it wasn't filled with sleeping children, like it wasn't already rubble the last time they came. Al-Ahli Hospital glowed orange, not with hope, but with 471 lives turned to ash in one breath. The news called it a misfire, as if that soothed the mothers pulling body parts from broken prayer mats. I saw Amal and Muhammad kneel beside their dead siblings, their faces older than their years, their grief aired live, then forgotten. I remember Hind Rajab, 6 years old, trapped in a car surrounded by her family's corpses, whispering, "They're shooting. Come get me." They found her 12 days later, bullet in her head, rescue team dead beside her. I remember her voice, more than the silence of those who could have helped. I scroll past pictures of Rafa where tents fold in on bodies like grief, where water is a privilege and bread is a miracle. And from my room, with the fan on, with a full plate, with the guilt of breathing, I stare. Gaza dies in real time and we live stream our helplessness. I don't know if it's protest or performative. I just know I haven't been able to sleep right since October. This poem was first published in Ghost City Press, and there is a trigger warning for abortion. Koi Pond by Isra Shima. Look down and see your unborn baby floating in the middle of the toilet bowl. You see it spin slowly, like a lone koi fish, its soft pinked flesh swirling in a murky pond of blood clot lily pads. You were driving and pulled over to throw up from the lightning strike explosion of sharp pain in your uterus. You vomited into a crumpled Walmart bag as the car inched towards someone's mailbox. Feel the liquid warmth gush out of you. Life ejected. No, rejected from your body. That life giver. Peer closer at it. That no longer life, no larger than a just plucked raspberry. Squished into some sort of spring jam. You want to bury it. Fill a small ring box with silk threads, a few tears, a palmful of dust, and a folded up note of its name for the angels to know and watch over. But no. This maroon sea is its cushioned coffin, the cold ceramic toilet seat its halo. You flush. Watch it swish around the bowl in circles. lifeblood swirling in water like striped fins swimming away from you. As if Allah didn't say your unborn child would drag you into heaven by its umbilical cord. As if this angel baby. Grief is like a corpse in the land of the living. They say grief is found in the saddest of people, in the saddest of families, in the lost and in the lonely. But I say this isn't true. I've seen grief in happy homes, in the happiest of people, in you and in me. When grief knocks at our front door, we don't invite it in with open arms. It comes without a whisper. So silently it creeps up that it catches us off guard, slowly creeping into our souls, holding complete control of our emotions. We are lost. We are depressed. We want to run. But where do we hide? Do we seek shelter or do we hide from our emotions? These emotions are the death of us. But when grief gradually disappears, it's like gray clouds washing away, being replaced by clear skies. All we do is wait for clear skies, without realizing gray skies are needed to make us humans. And if gray skies didn't exist, it wouldn't rain and cool our souls down. By Kimi Sia. Mabon, by Danielle Marie Cahill. We choose three glowing apples in the greengrocer and take them home. One for each of us, polished scarlet. I slice them horizontally, so when I open the flesh, you both see the pattern of seed stars in the center, a gasp, and you reach out with curious hands to touch them, picking out the pips with pointed fingers. You create celestial shapes on the tabletop, arguing over one stray seed, although it is mine. We bite into the fruit, careful to leave behind the Pleiades, joyful sisters shining in the core. They hold us enraptured in Mabon's sweetness. Play More by Maggie Devers. I have this little fantasy that my daughter's hippie school is raising a bunch of radicals, and I imagine them chanting resist in unison. But then I realize that's what they're doing all day. In every moment that they are authentically true to themselves, and we can too. Liberation looks like many things. Hanging upside down on the monkey bars with no hands. Standing on the highest part of the play structure and observing the world below. Painting, drawing, reading. When we light our hearts on fire just to feel good, we are resisting. So play more, love more, be silly more, break the rules more, just to feel good. And count it as an act of rebellion, because it is. Thank you for listening, poetry lover. Come back tomorrow. The curtain rises again.